are that many Spanish-speaking folks that are in prison, and you think about, as he just mentions there, one area, thinking about New Mexico. I mean, that's one state, and no telling, multiply that, you know, times 50, how many folks there are in the United States and some of the other areas. And I know the Rock of Ages, of course, even has an outreach internationally to a lot of countries and a lot of ministry, jail ministries in some of those places. So it's just amazing, but you certainly pray for these folks and ask God to meet their needs, and, you know, He'll supply it. He has for numerous others, and thank God I know that He will. Amen? For these folks, too. So take your Bible this morning. We're going to look over in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 22. 2 Kings chapter number 22. And, you know, we've been here over the last several weeks kind of getting into the thought of our New Year thought about can the church thrive in 2025? And certainly that is the question. Are we going to thrive as a church, or are we just going to hang around and be dead? Amen? You know, over in the book of Revelation, and we're liable to get there one of these days on this thought, but the question is asked of, or mentioned to one of the churches, the statement is made to one of the churches, that you have a name that you live, but you're dead. Amen? And I'm telling you, I don't want that to be Old Bethel Baptist Church. I don't want that to be any Baptist church around us or any church that's standing for the truth and the Word of God. We don't need that, do we? We don't need a name that says, oh, look what they're doing by name. But we need something that shows there's some life on the inside. Kind of like when you do CPR on somebody. I mean, it looks like they may be gone, but I can tell you, you've seen it and you've heard the stories, the news report. Somebody do CPR on somebody and they come back to life. Praise God, today we need churches to come back to life. Amen? And let's look at how that's going to work and what the way toward that is here in 2 Kings chapter number 22. Look with me, if you will. Let's begin reading in verse number 3. It said, "And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, that the keepers of the door have gathered to the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house unto carpenters and builders and masons and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them to do the work, and they have oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Achaim the son of Shaphan, and Achor the son of Mechaniah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, Go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for blessing us. Thank you again for the service and the rejoicing, the Spirit of God that we feel here this morning. I pray now you just add your blessings to everything that's said, everything that's done here today. May we just give you honor and may we give you glory and praise for what you're doing for us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, I want you to look at this, and here's my thought. If you'll notice, here's the people are doing some work, and if you go back and study and read this, people have gotten away from God. Does that sound familiar to you? People have gotten away from God. As they got away from God,
it just looks like they went into a real casual type of worship. As a matter of fact, you can go back and read, and you will as you read further here about this young king, Josiah, when he comes into power and into his place as reigning, he begins to change some things that are there. Because, man, everybody that was before him, his kings before him, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. But God spoke to this man's heart and wanted him to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he got his heart in the right place so that he could do a work that God was pleased with. He began to get rid of the idols. He began to get rid of all of the things that were hindrances to the people. And you see here, the idea of the beginning of this is that they poured some monies into rebuilding and redoing the house of God. And the Bible says that in the midst of redoing all of this, that Shaphan, who was a scribe, one of those that would be the man that would be a transcriber, if you would, of the Word of God, he found the book of the law of Moses. Amen. I mean, isn't that amazing? Hey, can I tell you, I think there's some places, I think there's some people, I think there's some churches today that need to find the Word of God again. And as I'm saying, if we're going to thrive in 2025, here's one of the things that's going to help us. Now, I want to preach to you this morning just for a few minutes about the communication that helps us thrive. The communication. What is the communication? Well, I'll tell you. It's this old book right here that I hold in my hand. Hey, it's a word that came from heaven. It's a word that was delivered by the mouth of the Father in heaven. And it's a word that He says in His own Scriptures. He said, "My word shall abide forever." Heaven and earth going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to abide forever. Amen? I mean, I'm just telling you today, we need, if we're going to thrive, we've got to have the Word of God. Isn't it amazing? You think about Brother Proctor and the work that he's doing and going to be doing, how that there's people that will be in prisons, but you know what? They still need the Word of God. There's people that cannot speak the English language, but they still need the Word of God. There are people that are not even anywhere near round about Chickamauga, Georgia, but you know what? They need the Word of God just like we do in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, and South America, Canada, wherever you want to go. People need the Word of God. And if we don't have it, we're in trouble. Amen. We're in trouble. But I want you to look at, if you will, think about this. It talks about, here is a book that is delivered. I mean, it's like, almost like Hilkiah here, the high priest, going through, and he's going through, rummaging through everything that's in the house of God and straightening up stuff and clearing out rooms and getting rid of stuff and getting ready to redo things. And as they're there, he comes across there and he said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Let me tell you something, Shaphan. We found this book." Oh, Shaphan said, "Well, what kind of book is it?" He said, "Well, I don't know. It's just some big old book that we got here. And I don't know. Let's take a look at it." Hey, it's the Word of the laws of God to His people. You know what I want to say about that? First of all, I want me and you to understand the importance of this book. This book is important. Whether we realize it or not, it's an important book to our world today. First of all, I think for some of us and for people that maybe even round about us, it is like it was here. It was a forgotten book. You know, as I say, they're carrying on with religion. They're carrying on with what they had done and had been doing for the last years. And now they're doing it without the book. Can I tell you, when you and I forget the Bible, that's all you've got is religion. You don't have old time, heaven sent, God breathed salvation. You've just got a form and fashion of some religion. Amen? And you know what? For a lot of folks, that satisfies them. Apparently here in the people of Israel, it must have satisfied them. They were doing okay. Things were rocking along. They had a country. They had a king. They had an economy. They had all their daily doings and ins and outs of business. But they didn't even think about the Word of God. It's a forgotten book. Oh, may the Lord help us today to never forget the Word of God. I mean, I want, you know what David says in the writing of the Psalms? He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You and I need the Word of God. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Amen. Can I tell you, friend, you and I need the Word of God. But sometimes it's a forgotten book. Sometimes it's just this, that it's a forsaken book. You know, we live today in our society and people say, that old stuff in the Bible, that's all antiquated. It's out of date. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be freshened up. It needs to be brought into 2025. I mean, man, we've lived this long. We've done this and we've done fine and things have changed and the world's changed since those days back there when, you know, King David lived or Moses lived or even the days when Jesus lived. Things have changed. Can I tell you, things have changed, but hey, brother, God's Word is still the same. God's Word has not changed. God's ideas have not changed. God's thoughts about things have not. We have just forsaken the book. People say, "Well, you know, we believe blah, blah, blah." Well, you can believe anything you want to. But just because you believe it, because maybe even a majority percent of people in the world believe it, does not make it so. Whatever this book says, thank God that settles it for me. I mean, when God says, "Hey, there's some things you should do and some things you shouldn't do," you know who I'm going to listen to? I'm going to listen to Him because it's pinned down. It's written in His book. There's some things that are written there that people say, "Oh, just do away with that. Get rid of that. It doesn't count this time. We're in a different day and hour." Brother, you and I need to wake up and realize the book is still for today. Amen. An old time preacher, an old time message, an old time Word of God, hey, it's still relevant in the year that you and I live. It's not popular. It's not accepted. But can I tell you this? Hey, it may be a forgotten book and it may be a forsaken book, but I want you to understand this. It should be a famous book to us in the time that we live. I mean, the Bible, do you know, and this is just historical record, or the best-selling book of all time is the Bible. I don't know if you remember this or not. When you went to school, I hope they taught you the same thing they taught us. When a typographical print was first put into set and order, a fellow by the name of Gutenberg, you know what the first thing he printed was? The Bible. Over in Germany, he learned how to set type and ink it up and run it through a machine and a process. And the first thing that he thought about printing was a Bible. It wasn't the government rules. It wasn't the law of the land. It wasn't this and that and the other, or who this famous person was, or who this person ought to be, or the economic news. He printed a Bible. Why? Because I believe it's the most needed book in our world there is today. Amen. We need the Word of God. Oh, it should be a famous book. It ought to be feared by those that love it. And it is. It should be the favorite book of those that love it. It is a faultless and a faithful printed Word of God. Amen. Aren't you glad? Hey, I believe this. I believe that where my Bible says that I trust that the Word of God is the inspired, breathed, eternal, never-changing Word from the Father in heaven. I believe that's the Bible. What does that say? That says it's a pretty important book for us today. Now, I mean, I'm like some of you. I read other things, and I read after other people, and many times it's after other preachers and historical people, some of those things. I do that, sure. But can I tell you, the best thing you can do is grab your Bible. Get your Bible, sit down, and let that begin to soak in, penetrate into your heart and your life. And I'll tell you, friend, it will get the job done. Amen? It'll do something for you that nothing else can do. It is, first of all, an important book. But second of all, let me tell you this. Let's look at the impact of this book. I mean, this book, this Bible, this Word of God should have a serious and very deep impact on you and your life today. The Word of God should have. Do you notice what the Bible says here? Here's this scribe and this high priest has found the book. Verse number 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Well, I was going through some stuff and we was getting rid of it. I pulled over something and here's the book. And it's the book of the law. Like I said, it's almost like it was a hidden book. Almost like it was something lost. But it said he had that book of the law and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. And then Shaphan the scribe came to the king, brought him word, and he began to tell him, said, well, thy servants have gathered the money that they found in the house, delivered it to the hands of them that do the work. They've oversight over the house of the Lord. And Shaphan showed the king, saying, look, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And then he began to read the book. Can I tell you, when you begin to read the book, it'll do something that nothing else will. Amen. It'll do something else too. It said, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He ripped his very kingly robes. He began to realize, hey, there's something about this book. I don't know what kind of impact it's made on you. I don't know what kind of impact it's making on you today. I don't know what kind of impact it will make on you in the future. But can I tell you, the Word of God will make an impact on your life. Amen. I mean, there's something special about it. When you look in this thing and you begin to see yourself like the king did. I mean, he heard that scribe begin to read, and as he began to read, the king, something began to happen to him. You know what it'll do to me and you? When you or when somebody else around you begins to read the Word of God, I'll tell you what it does. First of all, it will cause every one of us to see our sin. It'll cause us fear of sin. Look here in verse number 11. It says that came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go inquire, go find out about it, because this book has done something to me. Amen. Can I tell you? It'll help you to see your sin. You see what it says in the latter part of verse number 13? We read through part of it. It said, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. You know what he said? There's some things God has told us, and we've just ignored them. There's some things God has said to us, and we've just, oh well, if we want to, we will, and if we don't, we won't. Can I tell you, this Word, first of all, will help you and me. Will help us to see our own sins. It'll help us to see our own sins. I mean, man, you better start reading that book. And when you begin to read that, when the preacher stands up and reads the book, when somebody in the Sunday school class stands up and reads the book, when his mom and dad at the house read the book, it will begin to show you your own personal sin. You and I need to hear from the book. Amen? I mean, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. You know how you get pricked in your heart by the Word of God, friend? I'm telling you, when the Word of God comes by your way, it will cause you to see your sin. But not only that, don't you realize when you see your sin, it will cause you then next to seek the Savior. Look there in verse number 13. He said, look, God is against us, and God's wrath is kindled. And you know why? Because we hadn't done what He said to do. And I'm telling you, because of that, we need to get on our face. Listen to what He said. He said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you. You'll see that when they went and they find this lady by the name of Huldah, a prophetess there in verse number 14, and they began to talk to her, she began to tell him and said, hey, you go tell the king, this is what I want him to know about the Word. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God will reveal your sin. It'll cause you to see your sin, and it'll cause you then to seek the Savior. And then, hey, I'm glad of this. Once you get all that settled, it'll cause you to stand up for the Scriptures. Look in chapter number 23. Look in chapter number 23, verse number 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Can I tell you, friend, this thing, when you hear it, it'll make an impact on you. The Word of God should have an impact in your very life. I mean, when it begins to speak to you and it shows you your sin and it says you need to seek the Savior, and after you get saved, it will tell you you need to stand up for that very Word of God. You and I need to stand for the Word of God today. In this old rotten, stinking, dying, and I'm talking about somebody on their way to hell world. Hey, you and I need to stand for the Word of God. Somebody say, well, preacher, we just want to do our thing. You know, the thing of the day is just, if it feels good, do it. If it's what you want, it's your truth. And somebody else may think something. Can I tell you something? You better listen to the Word of God. Amen. It is always true. It is always right. It is always the best thing you can do is stand up and stand for the Word of God. Paul said, having done all, stand. Put on the whole armor. You know what part of that whole armor is? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Buddy, when you've got that, God will bless you. He'll bless your church. He'll bless your family. He'll bless your life. When you and I get in line with the Word of God. Amen. With the Word of God. So you see the importance of this book. You see the impact that this book makes. But I want you to notice there's some implications of this book being found. There's some things that God says when they find this book that, as I say, they've just forgotten about. And I think there's some things that you and I as a culture today have forgotten about. You know, I'll just tell you, hey, God, according to this, He has got some judgment that will fall upon those that don't want to follow Him. God has got some judgment that's going to fall. You see what it says when they talked with this lady, Huldah, in verse number 15. She said to them, she said, this is what the Lord said. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you, the king, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Amen. Can I tell you, you want to forget the Word of God and do your thing, just like our world is today? Oh, preacher, don't bring that old Bible study. Don't tell us, oh, we don't want to hear that. Tell us something sweet. Tell us that God loves us. Tell us we can do whatever we want to. Tell us it's okay. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to try to preach to you the whole counsel of the Word of God. Amen. And when we do that, hey, it'll bust your bubble sometime, won't it? You know what? I've had preachers preach when I've sat out there where you're sitting. They'd preach, and it'd make me mad. I'd poach that lip out. I mean, it hurt my feelings. Well, that preacher hurt my feelings. Why, yeah! Amen. I'm telling you, I've been up here preaching sometimes, and it hurt my feelings. And I'm the one doing the preaching. Well, can I tell you, it's the Word of God, and it brings us into that place where God says there are some things that I'm going to judge. And can I tell you, I mean, all you got to do is just read a little bit, and we've never really gotten into the depth of the book of Revelation too much, but I can tell you this, hey, the book of Revelation says there's a judgment that's coming upon this world. And really, when you look at it, it's not pretty. And do you know why there's a judgment coming? Because they don't want to hear what God's got to say. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. That's it boiled down to its simplest form, is that people are going to stand in judgment because they knew more than God did, or they thought they did. They knew better than God did, or they thought they did. Brother, there's a judgment coming. I mean, God says right here that He's going to bring a judgment because they've forsaken me. They burned incense unto God, other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hand. Hey, people are trying and they say, oh, Lord, look what I did. Look how I did it. Look what I did with my money, and I gave it, and I helped. And I did. God's not interested. Those are good things to do, but that's not what gets the attention of God. God's looking for somebody that'll believe this word and have their life changed by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And as I say, if you don't, there is judgment that's going to fall on those who fail to follow the Word of God. But aren't you glad of this? Oh, God has got a blessing for those that do want to follow it. Now, God has pronounced a wrath upon those that... But look what He says in verse number 18. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou hearest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all this evil which I'll bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Amen. Boy, can I tell you, God promises a blessing on those that do follow this book. I mean, this king said, you know what? We've got some things. Wouldn't it be great? And I'm going to tell you this, and you know, whatever you want to think about. I'd rather hear Donald Trump come out and say, can I just lead our nation in prayer? I mean, I know there's a lot of other things he said and a lot of other things he's doing. Some are for it and some are against. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest things he could have done is stood up on that inauguration day and say, they've put me in his presence. Let's all start in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Let's dedicate our hearts and our lives to God. Let's lift him up. Let's get his book out. Let's let people follow the right kind of leader. And I don't care who it is. If it's Donald Trump, if it had been Joe Biden, or if it had been whoever it'd been, hey, I'm telling you, we'd be a lot better off following the Word of God. Amen? I'm just telling you. You see what he says? The Lord says to him, because thine heart was tendered, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place. You should have some fear in your heart for the things that God says in His Word. People have lost their fear of God. There's people that will shake their fists and say, God, I don't care. I don't know if you're there. I don't believe in you. You know, whatever they want to do. Can I tell you, one of these days, they're going to find face-to-face meeting with God, and it ain't going to be pretty. Amen? He's going to cast some into an eternal damnation. And then we'll see who the big bad bullies are that day. All that crowd said, oh, preacher, me and my buddies will have a big party in hell. No, you won't. It's not a place of fun. It's not a place of togetherness. I believe that's part of the aspect of hell that you and I failed on. I believe it's separation from God. But I believe you're separated out there in the darkness and in the torment and in the hell that it is. Hey, you're there by yourself. And you know where most of us don't want to be? We don't want to be by ourselves forever. Separated and hearing the cries and the screams of others in those torments. Amen? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to get you to wake up and realize, hey, you and I need to understand about the Word of God, how important it is, how big an impact it'll make, and what the implications of this whole story are. Do you realize that God's cure for every ill in this world is found in this old book? Can I tell you? You say, well, preacher, my family's not doing too good. Can I tell you? The cure for families right here in this book. Oh, preacher, my finances are not doing. Can I tell you? Cure for your finances right here in this book. Oh, well, I'm worried about the things going on the globe. All the answers for all of those things are found in this book. Amen? And boy, when you get into this book, you'll be less leaning upon those things that you hear, those things that come across wherever, Fox News, CNN, World News, CBS, ABC, whoever you're listening to. Can I tell you, this right here will take its place. This is news that is as fresh as it is then, or as it was then, it is today. I mean, it is something that is new. It is something that is precious. It is something that is powerful today, just like it has ever been. And it's the Word of God. Amen? Oh, the writer tells us that the mercies of God, over in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah writes, and said that every morning your mercies are new. Do you realize you got up with a new mercy from God this morning? You know where that's found? In this book. You know what you find in this book? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know that he said in this book, you may have some hard times, but I'll be right there beside you. It's in this book. It's in this book. You don't get all those consolations and all those helps from all of these other things in this world. But everything, every ill that this world may have, the cure is found right here in this book. Right here in this book. This is, Jesus said, the words that I give unto you, they are life. Jesus says to eat of his flesh, drink of his blood. You know what that means? I mean, get this book and let it get it on the inside of you. He told that little lady by the well. She said, sir, this is a deep well and you don't have anything to draw with. And you talk about getting me a drink. He said, the drink that I'll give you, the fountain that I'll give you, the water that I'll give you, it'll spring up on the inside of you and you'll never thirst again. Can I tell you, this is the book. This is the book. Amen. You know, there's a little song that we used to sing. I told them when we went on a trip over to Israel, we'd get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're out here loading on a big old bus with about 40 other people. And we ain't had our coffee real good yet. And we're all kind of grumpy and looking at each other. Old Brother Jimmy would be young. We'd jump in the bus. And he'd say, good morning, everybody. And you're looking at him like, yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. And he'd begin to sing, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And he'd sing that a little bit, you know, and then, okay, all right. And then he'd say, this is the book, this is the book, this is the book that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? This is the book that God has given to men. Oh, listen, I'm so glad He gave us this book. It has told us so many things, and it still tells us many things today. And I tell you, the best thing that it says, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You need some rest this morning. You need some help. You need some healing for your hurts. Hey, your answers in the book. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 1, if you're looking in your Bible sometime, John chapter number 1, In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This book has ever been. Thy Word forever is settled in heaven, O Lord. That's what the psalmist said, didn't he? Amen. Brother Ronnie, while we come and get ready with a verse of a song, maybe you're here today and you've heard about the book and you've heard preachers preach from the book, but can I tell you today, you can meet the book.
Amen.
You can meet the very author of the book. Aren't you glad you can find the one that originated everything there is to know about the book and the Word of God? Let's stand this morning, if you would, please, while we get ready to sing this song. While God's dealing with your heart, maybe. You need to come to a place where you can just come and just bow your heart and your life before Him and say, Lord, I need to hear more. I need to know more. I want to know more about this book. Well, we're going to sing this morning, Brother Ron. Page 313. Amen.